Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 17, Colorado, recap of Episode 3. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Now, for those of you new to the Regular Guys Random Thoughts universe, a couple things to keep in mind.
We're growing. We're a universe now.
Well, I mean, universes can be pretty small, too. So, you know, here's the thing. Terrell is not the biggest fan of reality TV, okay? You may notice this. You may pick up on this as we go through this review. And a while back, he made a deal with the devil and decided he would not watch reality TV again until they had a Black Bachelor. Pandemic hit. ABC said, hold my beer. Enter Matt James. So Terrell stuck watching it. Me being a good friend that I am, I watched it with him. In return, and reluctantly, he decided to watch one of my favorite shows in return, and that's what we did. We watched Married at First Sight, season 13. And ever since then, he's been hooked, stuck, and loving every minute of it.
Correction, sir. Mm. I've not been hooked.
Yes.
And I've not been stuck.
Yes.
This is just what our subscribers like us doing. So because they like it, I'm taking one for the team, myself, and doing this for them. But do I enjoy doing this?
Yes, you do.
Nope. Let me say in a different language. Nope.
Say it in another language. Yes.
Let's try it in German. Nope. Yet.
Here's an interesting thing from Allison, who said, I'm here, needed a whiskey to get through the snooze fest. Did you feel that way about episode 3? Before we get into the details of episode 3, is that what you felt about it?
I'm drinking whiskey now. To get through this podcast.
Is your new name Allison? Yes. Did you type this?
Allison, you are my people. I'm drinking whiskey now. Four Roses. So I agree with Allison because so much of this could be sped up because we know that all the drama doesn't happen until we get to honeymoon and whatever they're going, this trip.
Right.
So it's just a whole lot of get through the weddings and then it's the same crap. Every time we do this, you have the wedding ceremonies, then you get the reception.
Right.
Then you get them getting, you know, drilled by their new spouses, friends, bridesmaids, groomsmen. And then, of course, are y'all going to have sex tonight? Are y'all going to do this?
Your favorite part.
It happens all the time and it's stupid. So, yes, I totally feel, Allison, that, yeah, I need to get through some drinks because this is an hour and a half, 2 hours of boredom that could have been just done in less than an hour.
It could be one episode. Let's get through it quickly. But I get it. They want to do it. Daphne says, thank you for taking it for the team. Also, Mario June says, I really don't start watching until the honeymoon. And Melissa has a great point. Thank you. And this is what Terrell actually really lives for, this point right here. But Terrell, your commentary on Married at First Sight makes it worth you watching. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you, Melissa.
I can't take all the credit for it. Thank Four Roses. Thank Dark Liquor. When I'm on Dark Liquor, you have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. And so this is not scripted. I have no idea what I'm going to say, but cheers.
Hey, and we love it. Because like Allison said, Terrell, you know you love doing the show. Yes, he does. He just is being stubborn and won't admit it. Plus, you bring it and call out the BS, which you do. So
I feel like y'all are adding fuel to the fire for Yanni to say, I like the show.
Yes.
And I don't. I appreciate the kind words. I totally do. But no, I'm not.
My people's are with like me doing here. This.
Don't love doing this. I love doing this for our subscribers and the people that tune in every time we go live. I love doing that. But the 2 hours it takes for me to sit and watch and take notes, do I love that? No.
Well, okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get through these couples, get through the weddings, because that's what we did in this episode. And then, as promised from last week, we'll go ahead and give our way too early predictions from these four couples. Even though we've seen coming up for the next season, for the rest of the season, it looks like there may be a fifth. We've seen that in the chat over the last couple weeks as well. So we'll make our early predictions on these couples based on wedding and not even making it up to the hotel room yet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's kick it all off with Claire and Cameron, where we left off in episode 2, picking up in episode 3, Claire's sister, a bit over the top. This is crazy. What are we doing? You're not doing anything. Sit down. It's okay. It's okay.
Well, you know, we just passed Halloween, right? And so mm-hmm. I think about haunted houses. And all the videos you see of haunted houses is friends like holding each other, trying to get through the haunted house. That's how Claire and her parents look walking down the aisle. Like they were about to walk into a haunted house.
Look, if I'm Cameron, I'm not sure how I feel watching her come. I'm like, are they forcing her down here? I think we've seen this season before. This doesn't work out.
You getting married today. You getting married like it's an arranged marriage, which technically it is.
It is. And thank God everything got better when she got to the altar. I mean, it was at least comfortable. She seemed at ease. And I liked them together when they first meet.
I do too. And I think Cameron in the first couple episodes, I like him, but he seems dry. Mm-hmm. But I felt like his personality came out, which helped Claire feel mm-hmm. comfortable.
Yeah.
Of course, he has the accent. So I think Claire is just like, what did you just say? How did you say that? Have an accent. Oh, now the Kiwi makes sense.
Yes.
I get it. You know, so I thought it was, I thought it was really good. And I really like this couple. Now that I've seen them together, I feel a lot more positive about them than I did in episodes 1 and 2.
I like the fact that when she said, oh, now the gift makes sense. He was like, I probably should have done a better job explaining it. Yes, you should have. But here's the other thing that kind of got me, right? As they start giving their vows, and I know. These vows are not supposed to be really heartfelt. I mean, because you're writing them to a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
But is it me? Or did Claire feel like she was just standing up in class reading?
Reading her book report? Married at First Sight by Claire. Hi, my name is Claire.
Chapter 17, page 3.
I mean, I that has to be awkward for anybody. I couldn't imagine having to write that for a stranger.
Right.
And really make it deep and profound. But I will give Cameron credit that I liked his. Mm-hmm. Not that Claire's is bad, but I like Cameron's because he really stressed how promises are important to him and mm-hmm. he plans to keep them. And then he reads through some of the things that he promises to do.
Yes.
And then again, his sense of humor comes out, which I think is, it's a little ninja because you don't know that he has this little sense of humor.
Right.
But his sense of humor comes out and it says, hey, if it doesn't work out, we can blame the experts. Which is what everybody does every season. I was just like, Cameron, well played, sir.
Like, Cameron, you're one of us because we blame the experts too. And you know, let's be honest. I'm not going to downplay it and act like it's an easy thing to do. Writing vows to someone you know and actually love is tough. I love my wife. Those vows were hard to write.
I couldn't imagine. And I feel like I am a good wordsmith when it comes to stuff like that. So if mm-hmm. I got married, what would my vows be? I think they'd be pretty dope.
Will they start off roses are red, violets are blue?
No.
It's good that they get married. Maybe to you.
Contrary to some people, I might seem like I'm toxic, but I'm not. But I think that I could write some pretty good vows that would be pretty awesome.
Speaking of toxic, we do have to have that combo. Let's see if we get some people on and we'll do a whole conversation around toxic and the fact that you say you've never been in a toxic relationship. So we got to plan that maybe for next week or week after and find out what's your toxic problem there, Tara. But back to what seems to be a non-toxic couple here with Claire and Cameron. I felt sorry for him a little bit. He's going to need a back brace because when he had to bend over and kiss her, I'm like, he's going to have a tough time, man.
Yeah, but I here's what I think. Tall guys, that's mm-hmm. not an issue for them. They're used to that.
Yeah.
Because it's a perk. You don't always see tall guys going for tall women. And so they're used to like dating somebody short. I didn't realize how tall Cameron was until I saw him stand next to Claire. And I'm like, wow, that's a huge...
He didn't look tall. I thought it was just me. And then, because like Ms. Sword said, how tall is Cameron? Did they say that yet? I don't recall them saying it. They just kept talking about the fact that he's tall and he's got a full head of hair.
I put him at like 6'2", because Claire, as she said, I'm 5 foot nothing. So she's probably 5'2", you know, something like that. But I feel like Cameron could probably be 6'2". It's just a huge height difference. 6'3", Melissa? Yeah, Melissa, that could be. Could be it. I don't think he's like, you know, NBA tall. Right. But he's a lot taller than her. But I think that's a win for her because she's instantly attracted to the height.
Yes.
As well as the accent.
I didn't realize she was that short either. Until you see them together, then you realize what's going to be interesting is when they put them next to the other couples. I think that's going to... Wait, did she actually say she was... Because I see this here. Daniel,
she said she's 5 foot nothing. Yeah. She said she's 5 foot nothing, but I don't know if she really means 5 foot nothing, or is that just a...
Yeah, just one of those...
A phrase, right? That exactly. People say. But I think she's still shorter. I don't think she's 5 foot, but it's significant, the difference in height. But I think Cameron's probably used to that in his dating world. Every tall guy I know, they've dated people short. So it's not like it's his first time. Like, oh my God, this is weird. My back. I don't think he's going to have that problem.
Now, he says he can feel the chemistry. You know, he can know there's chemistry there. And Claire obviously seems to like his sense of humor, right? Something else she likes is the fact that he has his own hobbies. And I thought that was pretty cool. Because like, yeah, most of the guys I dated before, they kind of, you know, they wanted to latch on to me. And she, you know, that she usually attracts unstable guys. And Cameron had the perfect response that would have come from you. I was going to say you or me, but I was like, nah, I think that's more you.
I would have said it, but so she makes the point to say that she comes across codependent men. Mm-hmm. And Cameron says, you look like the type that would attract codependent guys. And he catches himself, but he realizes what he's really saying is that you are a catch physically. And so I'm sure you attract a whole lot, like a moth to a flame, I think is what he used. Right. But I find it interesting that she's a therapist, because it just goes to show that there's nobody's perfect and nobody can really dissect every relationship, no matter how experienced they are. She's a therapist, yet she tends to attract codependent men.
Right.
That's a you thing. That's not, it's not the guys. It's just you chose.
Are you a therapist now?
Let me put my therapist hat on real quick. Yes. It appears to me that this therapist likes projects and she tends to date projects. And so it'd be interesting to see how she dates a Cameron who's not a project, who has his shit together, and he doesn't need her to fix him. So
Danielle says that she low-key called his job a hobby in a way. I don't think that's what she did, but she said about him riding bikes. He said that's what he does in his spare time. I mean, yeah, he has a bike shop, but he also, that's what he does in his spare time. She just says, hey, I don't do that, but I'm glad you have hobbies.
Hey, I agree, but my favorite high vibe says she comes across as a fixer. Yes, I think she normally does. She's played that role in previous relationships. Maybe not that she wanted to, but she has. And so I'm curious to see how this relationship is going to go. So far, I have good vibes from them, from them too. But I thought that was interesting how she talks about all her previous relationships and how Cameron can kind of see right through that.
FYI, therapists all have therapists. Those are the words of Dina. Just so you know.
Everybody needs therapy. I think it's great.
Here's the thing, though. And before we get off of this couple right here, near the end of the night for them, right, near the end of the reception, Cameron's talking to Claire's sisters. And it seems like he comes off a little cocky. Or is it just another level of confidence? What is it we're seeing here?
I personally look at him coming across as confident. And I think that there are a lot of people outside of the U.S. who have that level of confidence, right? So a lot of the guys I know who were raised outside of the U.S., Cameron is saying, hey, I'm good at this. I've been doing well at this. And he just talks about it. And he's not coming across as arrogant or cocky. To me, he just comes across as confident. But Claire's sisters didn't seem to like that. And just, you know, they even dusted, oh, dust your shoulder off. It's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with a confident man. But he doesn't, to me, his confidence does not come across as cocky or arrogant. Mm-hmm. Everybody, I mean, I've met a lot of people from other countries. And I met you at 18, and you were cocky as shit, in my opinion.
No, I was confident.
You didn't let me finish. You didn't let me finish. So.
All right, go ahead.
Respectfully, you come
that means
across,
disrespectfully, but go ahead.
You came across, when I first met you, cocky as shit. As I got to know you and then became best friends with you, Yanni is just confident. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's just who you are. And I feel like Cameron is the same way. He's not at your level. I mean, you're at a higher level of confidence than Cameron or even Superman. Doesn't matter. All I'm saying is that Cameron to me is just confident, not cocky.
You are an ass. Just FYI. Just let you know.
Cheers.
That.
Cheers. That's the
put
dark
the cup
liquor.
Down.
That's the dark liquor.
And drill a hole in that gold cup. How about that? Let's get to the our next couple. Emily, who's probably had a couple gold cups already, and Brennan. Here's the first thing I noticed. They're going to take pictures, right?
Right.
And Brennan is so worried about what Emily thinks of his ankles being out and, you know, the high water pants that he has on showing off his ankles in his tuxedo. He doesn't even open the door for his new wife. Are you serious?
So, disagree with you there.
I know you would.
I watched it, and I even watched it again.
Of course.
She went, as they got to the door, she just went and grabbed it. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like he, you know, could he have said, hey, no, don't touch the door. I'm a man. I'm going to get this. He could have done that, but it's not necessary. She grabbed it. She pulled it open. Then he took it and held it open for her to walk through. I don't think it was disrespectful or him not being a gentleman. I just think she's just a very outgoing, driven type of woman that she doesn't maybe need a man to open her doors all the time. Now, the fact that he still held it open for her, and he would open doors for her, I think he would. And just in that, I don't think you can judge him off that quick little 3 seconds that we saw.
I hear your independent woman. Here's my bride. Here's my wedding dress. Here's my veil. Hear me roar. And I counter, which she did not run to the door to open it by herself. Yeah, she
didn't, but she reached first.
She may have been half a step in front of him. And you know what you do as a gentleman? You take that double step, get ahead, and open the door. It's your new wife. What are you doing?
I don't think you judge him for that. I think that's not fair.
I am.
I know you're going to. I'm saying I don't think it's fair. I just think that she got to the door first. And I'm sure, same in your world, if your wife got to the door first and pulled it, you're going to take it from her and be like, hey, I got this. But you're not going
to
like run in front of her real quick.
Her. Yes, I will.
And like, you know, stiff arm her out the way so you can grab the door. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal.
Let me get that for you.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. And she's someone who's never been in a relationship before. She's never had a boyfriend, apparently. Mm-hmm. So for her, she's just being in her independent self. But he took the door after that. When she opened it, he grabbed it. Now, I personally didn't like his high water pants. I'm not saying that you shouldn't wear that. I'm not saying you shouldn't wear that. What I'm saying is, and I'm no fashionista by any means. But what I think is, your pants are a little too high. It's cool to rock the shoes without the socks, but the pants are a little too high. That was a little bit too much.
They look closer to
capris than they did pants, in my opinion.
Blame Russell Westbrook and all them NBA players for rocking that, walking into the arena. That's what started all this. T. Randy says, you see, here's the problem. He was too worried about showing off his ankles that he didn't do what he should have done. He better run in front of me. LOL. You're right.
But I mean, if you're okay, so T. Randy, let me ask you this. If you're walking with the dude and you just go to the door first and open it, but then he takes it from you and holds it open, to me, samesies. Like, what's the
not
big
the
deal?
Same.
It's one thing if you always are opening the door for yourself. In this one instance, he just met this woman probably an hour before this door opening situation that Yanni's bothered by. Mm-hmm. Do you really think you can judge this person off that? Now, if we watch and see more episodes where he doesn't open the door, then I will take Yanni's side. But I'm going to give you a pass on you just married a stranger. I'm going to give you a pass.
I'm just going to teach my daughter, drop kick them in the shin if they don't open the door.
But your daughter's not going to go on Married at First Sight.
So no, she's not. But
there you go.
Look, if she's walking with you and you don't open the door for her, drop kick him in the shin. I know that's Uncle Terrell. Drop kick him in the shin.
Shoot.
Right, here's the other thing, though. As we get past this opening the door thing, right? Emily tells Brennan she's a terrible driver. And I'm not the only one who was like, yeah, we know. You drink sexist. Too much to be a good driver.
Sexist.
No, she drinks too much to be a good driver. Stop it.
No, she's a Jeep person. And most people I know that are Jeep drivers drive like shit. Because Jeep people feel like they own the road because they have a Jeep. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think maybe that could be it. Now, Brennan, on the other hand, Brennan's my dog because he's also an Audi owner. And I have an Audi. And I'm like, oh, Brennan's good people. There's actually a Jeep salute for people that ride Jeeps. There's a hand signal salute they give to each other. I don't know what it is. I just know it exists. I've been trying to research if there's an Audi salute that we can give to each other who drive really Audis. Isn't. If anybody knows, put that in the chat because I want to start.
It's called turn your nose up because that's what y'all do.
Because we're better than you.
Yeah. So they start having these conversations, right? And as Miss Warren says, she tells her man she was taking body shots off stripper. Who does that? Because she starts telling him about the bachelorette party and she does it with no shame.
So I'm conflicted on this because part of me says, hey, Emily, be you. Be your authentic self, as we hear in these reality shows. I get that. But also, the other part of me is like, some shit you don't need to talk about. Like, you don't need to tell your husband, even though you just met this guy. You just met him. But you don't need to tell him, I was taking body shots off strippers and da-da, I got white girl wasted. You don't need to tell him that.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to see it when he watches the show. He's going to see it. But you don't need to, I wouldn't have done that. Right then and there.
At least
but,
wait until the morning after to tell him that.
Because she's going to get turned tonight is what I think is going to happen. So let him figure that out. But I don't think you would ever. I mean, I've not been married, so I've not had a bachelor party. But I've been to many bachelor parties. And the rule of the bachelor party is what happens here stays here. I've never been to a bachelor party and told the person I was dating at the time, if I was dating somebody when I went, oh, last night was crazy. So-and-so took body shots off a stripper. And we did this. And like, you don't talk about it. Be like, hey, we had a good time. And that's it.
Okay. So would you consider that a red flag? The fact that she's telling that stuff that quickly?
I don't consider it a red flag. I just think in this situation, when you're marrying a stranger, you just throw shit out because you're like, you know what? I'm married. I should just start dropping bombs. Mm-hmm. Because in the conventional dating world, you hold that back. And so you don't share any of that stuff. But you're like, hey, I married a stranger. Hey, here's who I am. I did this. I took shots off a stripper and I snorted coke off her breasts, whatever. You just say stuff because you're like, hey, here's where we are.
So you say not a red flag. And I kind of get, you know, okay, at least he knows. There's no way he can say I didn't know, right? Here's a red flag to me when they went to cut the cake. This, I don't need to say anything else. It's on.
I watched that. I'm like, I know Yanni's going to bring this up.
Oh, you know me too well.
I was like, I know he's going to bring this up because I didn't see anything wrong with it. But like, because everyone else cut the cake right, got a fork, whatever. She cuts it and she's just holding up a deal with a big hunk of cake on it. What do we do?
And cake all in this hand. Like she grabbed the cake. I know I just met you, but you're going to embarrass me in front of my whole family like this?
In front of my friends?
Look, that's when Brennan's dad should have walked up. I told you, don't marry this woman.
Son, take a vodka. Let's talk.
I mean, what the hell? All right. I'm gonna stop. Okay. Here's the real question, because you call them the mean girls. At the reception, were you surprised that Emily's friends were actually nice talking about her when speaking to Brennan? Okay. Until he asked about her close call relationships. So up until that point, were you surprised?
I wasn't surprised, but here's where I was annoyed. Emily and her friends have that vocal fry that's annoying.
Oh, yes.
It's the way they talk. It's that Kim Kardashian talk. Ugh. You know, you got to understand, Emily hasn't been in a relationship. But if you take the time to get to know her, she's really nice. And you're going to be so happy. Like, that vocal fry is annoying. Yes. That is so popular now with a lot of women. Because, you know, I think the Kim Kardashians of the world made that popular. Mm. But it's annoying. But I wasn't surprised. And I'm glad they didn't say all the negative things they said on camera before this to Brennan.
Right.
Because we've always said they're haters. But at least they didn't come across that way.
At first. And then he asked about her close call relationships. And they just grabbed her and threw her head first under the bus.
Well, they didn't. Because they said, hey, look, we've met a couple. The ones that we really liked, you know, she kind of, you know, pushed away. And she just hasn't found that person. She hasn't settled. And then even when Emily was talking to Brennan's friends, she said the same thing. It's like, hey, I just met some people. We've hooked up. We've done some things. But I just haven't found anybody I really wanted to be in a relationship with. So I'm trying to take her for face value because I don't know what that's like. I could easily sit here and judge her to say, you've never been in a relationship before. You're married at first sight. You're the problem. I don't think that's fair. So I'm trying to take her face value and just be open-minded. Mm-hmm. It is odd that you've never had a boyfriend and now you're getting married to a stranger. But who knows? Let's just see how it plays out.
What'd you think about her having that conversation with his friends? Because it didn't seem like they were really letting her off the hook.
Oh, his friends, they don't understand it. Which my friends would be the same way. They'd be like, hold on, you've never had a relationship? Like, tell us more about that. Which Brennan didn't get a chance to ask because of everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. They drilled into it. And when she was talking to his friends, I got the vibe that she seemed like a little drunk or a little tipsy. Yes. You know, but what I don't understand is how she can't process how this is weird for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because she's a beautiful girl, right? She's a beautiful girl. She seems like she's fun. Life of the party. It would cause a lot of red flags for anybody to say, wait a minute, you've not had one boyfriend? Well, no one said you haven't been married because I've gotten that shit my whole life. You're 48, Terrell. You've never been married. You don't have any kids. What's wrong with you? Nothing. But I've had relationships. I've had girlfriends.
If you hear her, you know, well, I've had 29 years of working on myself.
Vocal fry.
Hey, Allison says Emily's the perfect mix of Virginia and Lindsay the Lohan. Funny. That is actually funny. You know, so when we had a bar, we actually had two bartenders. We called them Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton. They were just wild. The other, Melissa says, Emily's going to be the new Dominic, not ready for marriage. Do you agree? Because you remember Dominic, right?
No.
Her mom put her on the show.
Oh, that Dominic.
Yeah, Nashville.
No, because I don't feel like this was driven by Emily's mom, like Dominic. Like, we thought Dominic was going to be a no-go from the beginning.
Right.
Because her mom was the one talking about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't get that vibe from her. But right. I think that she's going to have to learn quickly what it's like to be in a relationship, what it's like to compromise. There's a lot that she's going to learn in this process. So we'll see.
You know, Kimberly says, vocal fry. Never heard that term, but I agree. That is annoying the way they drag the last syllable. Yes.
Yeah. Look it up, vocal fry. I didn't know what that was. My girlfriend was taught English for a long time. And then she's an administrator now at a high school. So she told me what vocal fry was. So I actually had to Google it and look it up. But after listening, and they give examples, if you do a Google search on vocal fry, you will hear people, and they always equate Kim Kardashian being someone that started it. But so many women do this, and they talk like this because they're just awesome. Seriously. And you got to understand that I want love, and I'm on Married at First Sight for the real thing, not for Instagram followers. I mean, the vocal fry is annoying.
If he stops doing that, would you all hit the like button, please? Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm going to keep talking like this, Yanni, because...
Please don't. Look,
I don't Allison know why question, you're but... giving me a hard time, because this is just how I talk.
Allison has a very important question to ask. She says, what is up with y'all's outfit? Justaro looks like Crocodile Dundee. And Yanni looks like he's attending a Christmas party.
Well, I can't speak for Yanni, but Allison, I'll tell you about what's up with my outfit. I believe this green vest, and you can't see the green socks I have on under these nice boots. I look cute as fuck. And that's why I picked this today, because I literally laid it on my bed and I was just like,
don't ever say that again today.
No. As men, Yanni, we should be able to say we look cute as fuck today. It's okay to say that. No, it's okay. You should look at yourself in the mirror some days and be like, Yanni, you look cute as fuck. Nothing wrong with it. Get in tune with yourself.
Oh, my God. Let's move on to the next one. Our next couple up, Becca and Austin, man. AKA Miss, should we make out again? I like the fact that she's like, look, here's what I want. I like you. Hey, give me some more.
So how often do we see that on Married at First Sight where people... are so happy with their partner that they want to keep making out. I think that's great. I think it's great that she feels that way about him. She wants to keep making out with him. And again, I made this comment last episode. Becca is her genuine self. And when they were taking pictures with the family and his groomsmen, she's like, hey, nut to butt. Like, she just doesn't care.
She can't help it. She just had to direct the photo shoot. She couldn't help it.
Yeah, but it totally makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been in radio for a long time. How many times, we've been doing this for almost 3 years. Mm-hmm. How many times do you keep directing me and correcting me? Because that's who you are. And so for Becca to be a photographer for weddings for so many years and then be the one sitting there and she's trying to direct people how to stand. Right. And I love the fact that she caught herself and said, you know what? Ignore me. Yeah. Do your thing. Mm-hmm. And let that other person do their job.
Right. But also, they are her pictures.
They are, but you got to let other people do their job.
Not true.
You know what I mean? It's like if I'm a photographer, I get it how I would do it, but I hired someone to do it.
Well, she didn't hire them. Let's get that clear.
Well, touche. Lifetime hired someone else to do it.
There you go.
Let them do it. But I think she recognized that because that would be hard for me.
Yep.
In my career?
Yeah, you don't even let people cook in the house. And that's not even your career.
I don't let people cook in my house, no. Because, you know, I have control issues. Thank you for bringing my shit out on this podcast. I appreciate that.
You've brought it up many times before. You've said that
before. Any other personal things I've shared with you that you want to share with the rest of the group?
You shared it with everybody. You shared it with the family. You've said that on here before. Stop it. K-Wu-10 says, I'm also takeover queen. See, you've got another queen with you, Terrell.
I have my things. I have my things, but I'm just being my authentic self, just like the show.
Oh, look, what'd you think of Becca's take on her friends asking her, like, if she thinks Austin is a boob guy or an ass guy? She's like, well, yeah, he has no choice.
I like her point because she doesn't know, but she's like, look, I got both. He's going to have to like both of them. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can do in this situation. Yeah. You know, if you and I were to do this show, I couldn't worry about, does she like tall men? Does she like short? Here's who I am. And you're going to have to like and embrace what I'm bringing to the table. If you don't, well, I guess we're getting a divorce. But other than that, I don't know what else to tell you. I can't change that. if he likes a boob person, she's not a boob person, she can all of a sudden inflate boobs in 2 weeks. Well, I mean, she could, but if she had that kind of money, she wouldn't be on Married at First Sight.
Yeah. She could go to the Mattel factory like all these people trying to get the ant body and get all that stuff if need to be. wouldn't recommend it. Tara G says, it was odd that her friends told Austin that Becca is very sex positive. Weird coming from them. Was it?
No, I don't think so, because I feel like they're both aligned. If you go back to the Bachelor and Bachelorette parties, Austin said that he's not into strippers. He's sex positive, but
no,
he's
sex not into strippers. Worker positive is what he said.
Same.
It's
sex
not
worker same. Or sex positive. Okay.
But she's touchy feely. He's
maybe
not.
He likes sex workers, but he hates having sex. You could be right. But I'm saying that I think they both have the same mindset. But what I thought was interesting is that Austin's friends were asking Becca, how does she feel about, you know, getting physical and all that and getting physical quick? Because I think they know that for Austin, that's not his end goal, is to, you know, have sex really quick. And so for Becca's friends bringing that up to Austin, I thought was cool. But at the end of the day, what I liked about both of them is that they both seem to be in this for the right reasons.
Yes.
It's about connecting with the person. Mm-hmm. And Austin's ideal for the night after the wedding is not, I mean, I can't wait to take that dress off. Let's have some sex. He wants to play Nintendo 64 and bond and get to know each other. And that's where Becca's at, too. And partly because of her surgery and she still has stitches, that she's not ready to just get naked. So I think that that's a good mix for both of them.
But Nintendo 64, though? Come on, man.
They're into. You play Madden. I don't play any of that shit.
Exactly.
But you're telling me about how you're beating somebody and playing a football game, someone you've never known, and you're excited about it.
In my mind, I'm not trying to play Madden.
Your wife liked playing Madden, and that's something
you all bonded
over.
Well, if she did, that's a different story, but she doesn't.
But in this case, Becca likes playing Nintendo 64, and so does Austin. So they can bond over that. They can have a date night where let's get a bottle of wine, some charcuterie, and let's beat the shit out of some people on a video game that we've never met. That could be their thing.
Hey, Allison has a great question. What if her friend said she's very sex negative? Different show.
Very different show. Very different show, because if I was in Austin's shoes, I'm like, can you tell me more about sex negative? And she's like, she doesn't like sex. I'm like, I'm going to have to text the experts real quick.
Right.
Hey, Pastor Troy, can we talk? You up?
What do you think of Becca's conversation with Austin's roommate, Nyla, though? At first, I'm looking at it, I thought it was nice. But then?
So I thought it was nice at first. But then after listening to more and just watching body language, what I walked away from, this might not be what Becca was feeling, but what I walked away from, Becca's like, I'm going to keep my enemies closer. Because his roommate, they've known each other 10 years, lived together for 3.
Yeah.
And even so, even though Becca said episode 2, after they got married, he said, yeah, roommate. She's like, I'm totally okay with that. Mm-hmm. And she probably is okay with that, but she's not stupid. I think she's someone also like, hey, I'm okay with this, but I need to investigate myself to figure out if there's any emotional connection between these two. So I felt like her bonding with her was more about, I'm going to keep an eye on this chick, more so than, this is so cool. He has a female roommate that they've known each other for 10 years and lived together for 3. Of course, they've never touched each other. You know, who knows?
Interesting thing is, I did not see it that way until you and I were talking about this before, you know, a little bit before we came on the live stream. And when you said that, I'm like, you know, the way she's going on about every single one of his habits and every minor detail, she comes off as that person, the woman stuck in the friend zone and in love with her best friend that happens to sleep next door.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're dating my ex? Let me tell you some things. He never puts the toilet seat down. He loves his back rubbed. You know, he's into this, he's not into that. I mean, it was just a little bit too personal. But I think that Becca handled it well. But I do think that she's trying to keep an eye on Naya. Is her name?
Nyla, I think it was.
Nyla. She's trying to keep an eye on her just to make sure that she's good. So I don't think Becca's stupid, but I think she handled it really well.
Yeah. So do you think they may have actually messed around? Because I see some comments saying, I think they did. No, I think maybe lesbian vibes. You think so?
I don't know. I mean, here's the deal. I think that's an assumption, right? If I met a girl and she tells me my roommate is a guy and I've known him for 10 years, we live together for 3, in my mind, they've hooked up at some point. Now, it could not be true, but that's just where my mind would go. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if Becca's mind goes that same way. I would just question if there's 2 attractive people living together, at some point, maybe y'all did. But she's with me now, so who cares about the past?
That's right. You don't care about anybody's past.
You can't, because you don't want someone to judge you for your past.
I got you.
You want someone to judge you for your past, so you can't judge someone else for theirs. So
we're not talking about my past.
I'm not talking about you specifically. No, God knows we don't want to talk about your past. We don't have time.
Matter of fact, let's move forward to the next couple. Lauren and Orion, you know, which the first dance, right? They're having a good time talking about the experiences and whatnot. But I think to hear Lauren say that she never dated outside of her race. And Orion, in turn, I've never dated within my race. Complete opposites here.
True, but I think what Orion was saying is he's not dated within his culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like he's dated, it'd be one thing if Orion only have dated black women, and that's it. But I feel like he's dated other women, they just weren't part of his culture because of the whole matriarchy thing.
Right.
But I will have to call out my frat brother, Sean, who felt last week's episode that Orion might not be as attracted to Lauren because he didn't state it. Where today, he stated it. He was like so floored with how beautiful she was.
Right.
When she walked down the aisle. I mean, he is smitten by how good she looks. But I think that's what makes this couple unique is that she's so open-minded in her dating.
Yeah.
And I think he is too, that I feel like that's why they could be a good couple. Because let's just be honest, and we can probably dig into this when we get into our toxic show and some other guests, but a lot of black women might not openly date other races and just experiment and try some stuff. And I feel like Lauren is just open-minded to whoever she dates. If she finds happiness, she's going to be good. And it's not always about her race. So
now, Katie says that Orion only complimented her after she fished for it, which we find out later on is something that she needs. And she's working on it, but yeah, something that she needs, that kind of validation.
Well, true. She does say that. And I'm glad that she recognized that she needs that. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that Orion's sister told her to, like, hey, when you need that, tell him.
Yeah.
Because I think that he has that. Remember he said he has the masculine and
feminine. Yeah.
Feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that feminine side will help him realize, okay, she needs a compliment.
Right.
And I need to make sure I give it to her. So, you know, I'm really open and I'm excited about, what I like about this couple is not just the race differences. Mm. It's the fact that they seem to be 2 individuals who are just that open-minded, which I think the world needs more of. That they're just that open-minded to embrace each other, regardless of what your skin color looks like.
How open-minded are they? And is Lauren really and so accepting? Because Orion was so nervous to share. And we talked about not sharing too much earlier, just with the other couple. And here we are here. But Emily shared a whole lot. Orion decides to share some stuff too. And he says, hey, I live with my mama. And I'm scared to tell you. And contrary to what everybody thought, there are a lot of people who probably expected a lot of neck rolls and a little finger pointing and all this, and none of that happened. She took it well.
I think she did, you know, because when he said it, when he started to talk about that, I was like, okay, where's he going? What's really about to happen? But the fact that he lives with his mom and the fact that Lauren is okay with it, Mm-hmm. I think it's dope. But what I like about it, and this is me sharing way too much, blame the bourbon.
Go ahead, please. Wait, you know what? Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Let's get this right. Please.
Are you about to single me out?
Share. God damn it.
So here's what I like about it. Years ago, I started dating somebody that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And prior to dating her, the person I dated before that told me that she was pregnant. But it wasn't mine. And I mean, won't get into all the detail, but let's just say mm-hmm. it wasn't mine. And she didn't want to have a baby, wanted to have a miscarriage. But I started dating someone new. And so I was like, shit, I got to drop this bomb because I don't know mm-hmm. what's going to happen. So I was just like, hey, can we talk? And I just told her, hey, here's what's going on. The person I was dating before you, they text me. Here's what they said. And she looked at me and she said, I won't say specifically what she said, but she's like, hey, no, I will say it because she doesn't follow me at all. But
probably with good reason, but go ahead.
Doesn't follow me at all. But she's just like, hey, I have herpes. I was just like, because she was just like, hey, you dropped this bomb. I see your bomb. I'm going to raise you this. And hey, here's what I got. And so I feel like Orion did the same thing. That like, here's the bomb I got to drop.
And what do you say after that? You win. You win.
It's just like, hey, you know, well, so does 55% of the rest of the population. I get it. You know, but it was just that the fact that I dropped that bomb that was so heavy on someone you just started dating, that she's God. Like, I've been dreading having to tell you this, but because you said X, I'm just going to lay out there. And she just did. I feel like that was what Orion was doing was, hey, here's the thing I've been worried about telling you. I live with my mom. And so she's like, cool. Well, then great.
Yeah. Well, at least she didn't drop one of those on him right away. But, what I did see was her backing him up, right?
And I'm looking at the comments. I'm sorry. I'm like, I didn't mean to kind of tell that story. It's just, it's a real thing. But believe me, she does not follow me and doesn't listen to this. So we're good.
Well, brown girl said, what? That is not where I thought the story was going. Look, when Terrell starts to tell a story, you never know. Let me just point this out real quick. You never know where it's going. Hey, Tyrus says, bartender, get this man another drink.
Cheers.
Nisha says, whiskey for every life, please. Oh, my God. This is amazing. This is why I'm drinking water today, see? It's exactly what And... Because Nisha said before that, she goes, I need to rewind and hear the story for a second time. Oh, trust me, he's got worse stories.
Yeah, I do.
He's got worse stories. We're gonna have to break the 10,000 subscriber club to get those first. Oh my God. Hilarious. Oh, I can't believe you actually just shared that. That was actually good.
I did. I shared. I'm being vulnerable. I'm being open. Isn't that what the show is about? Isn't that what Married at First Sight's about? No. I thought I was just trying to be a part of the show.
Wait, I'm not going to ask that question. I'll wait till after. So when they start doing the toast, how'd you like Lauren defending Orion? When they're like, Orion. Orion.
I loved it because he's like, look, what's that name again? Orion.
Orion.
Omarion. Orion. Whatever it is. So I thought it was cool that she actually was like, hey, no, it's Orion. Mm-hmm. Say it right.
Yes.
Although now I want to call him Onion after... what his sister disclosed about him. But exactly. I thought it was good that she was like, hey, no, it's Orion. Get it right.
She's also self-aware, though, because she said her red flags that she needs validation. She's working on it. And, you know, so that's good. I thought it was good for her to reveal that, and the fact that the sister, in that same, after telling her, of course, that it's Onion, not Orion, that she kind of said, gave her the advice to kind of get past that. But what a lot of people were bringing up a little earlier was Lauren's pops not feeling Orion. Said he, Melissa says he backed Orion into a corner. Yeah, Victor was not playing. Like High Vibe said, Lauren's daddy was not playing any games. And but at the same time, Miss Ward says her father went way too hard on that man. He just met his daughter 10 minutes ago. Sheesh.
Yep. I agree, because the dad was asking about, you know, what's your expectations? All this. And if I was in Orion's shoes, I'd have been the same way. I'm like, hey, here's what I think. And when he asked about, you know, what's your future plans? And he says that he wants to, you know, he likes Colorado, but he also likes the East Coast. He wants to have a home on the East Coast and home in Colorado, be able to go back and forth. He likes the beach. And his dad was like, yeah, I'm here. What I'm concerned about is that you're not really factoring what Lauren wants. And I'm sure Orion's like, we haven't talked about that yet. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a second and I'll get back to you.
Can I meet your daughter
right now? Yeah, for right now, you ask me this, I'm going to tell you what I think. And so I didn't like how his dad came at Orion, because I just thought it was just weak. It's like, yeah, he's married now, but he just married a person he'd never met, and it's been less than an hour.
Okay, I agree with Sam here, who says I thought Orion's answers were kind of immature. They were, you know, because it just seemed dreamerish, right? You know, because he thought he was being impressing the dad by, yes, I'm a licensed electrician in New York, and I also can do this in New York. And he's like, I give a shit, we're in Colorado. And he's like, well, I want to have a house over there and go to the beach and then come back and snowboard and ski and all this. And yeah, it did feel a little immature in that sense. And I understand the dad has to. What are you thinking of on your wedding day? And I get it. You just met her. But hey, I want you to understand how this works. It's not about just you anymore. It's you and her. There's no I. It's we.
It is, but you can't look at this from conventional eyes. And that's what the dad is doing. I just met this woman and we haven't even talked about where I want to go. I just told her before I came to sit with you that I'm working on my real estate broker's license.
And I'm living with my mama.
And I'm living with my mom. Give us a minute, you know, and I can tell you more about our plans. But right now, if you ask me personally, do I want to stay in Colorado forever? No.
Right.
That doesn't mean I won't. It's just, if you ask me personally,
yeah,
no,
you can't hold him to that. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. So I just didn't like his dad, Lauren's dad's questioning. Mm-hmm. I understand where he's coming from. I don't want to minimize that at all, but dude, they just met. Like, give him a chance.
That's like, so El Ramey agrees. You said, I can't stand when the families try to trip them up. Like, give him a chance. He's just meeting you all. Jeesh. And K Wu Ten says, can he learn her middle name first? They weren't immature. He was a single man just yesterday. Yes, and he knew he was going to be a married man today. And like High Vibe said, isn't that what a father is supposed to do? You better believe.
In traditional relationships,
give a High damn. Vibe,
yes.
Give a damn.
No, in traditional relationships, no. Traditional relationships, yes. That's what a father's supposed to do. But if you have a daughter who's getting married at first sight on this show, you can't look at the dude, what's your expectations of my daughter? Dude, I just met your daughter. Right now, my expectations
I expect to get to know her better.
I expect to get to know her better. I hope she stays this cute. And that kiss we had at the altar, I hope that gets better. I don't have anything beyond that right now. Give me another day or two, and I can give you more. But for right now, here's all I got.
What did you think of them both saying, because we talked about Becca and Austin at the bachelor and bachelorette party, how they were in sync, even though they weren't together and had never met yet, right? They're both running away from the strippers, but yet sex positive, right? Then you have Lauren and Orion both at the same time here saying that they feel connected and both admitted to looking for each other. I find myself looking for.
I do. I liked that because a lot of people in the comments felt when they got married that Lauren wasn't going to be as attracted and they didn't have the chemistry that we saw. I feel like they're showing that they do have that chemistry. And I think there is something about that, that they're both kind of looking for each other and they just want to stay connected. there's so much about them that I get why the experts put them together. This is the first season, I'll be honest, where I'm looking at everybody, I'm like, I get why they did this.
You've been this doing that since episode one.
No, I never did episode one. You're right, episode one. I'm thinking season one.
I'm always right. You'll learn this. Go ahead. Continue. Oh,
Jesus. See, this is that.
It's Yanni, but go ahead. Continue.
This is not from being from the U.S. and that confidence that you talk about with Cameron. This is the shit I'm talking about. This is what you were like at 18 that was annoying. But I've got to know you. I know that it's not coming from a hurtful place. But I think that a lot of people didn't see this about them, but I feel like they do have that. Now, we have to see how it all goes, you know, beyond this, but I feel like they have this connection with each other that is just very rare. And the fact that he has that feminine energy, I think he can, there's a part of that that feeds into the need that she had from her mom that she's missing. So I'm really curious to see how this is going to go, but I'm excited about it.
Of course, you know, like they ask all the couples, so what do you think is going to happen? He's like, I really don't want to consummate the marriage on the first night. And his friends are like, well, what if she does? And he's like, I'll tell her I have a headache.
He's got to break out his birth certificate. He's going to be like, are you sure? I need you to sign a release. I need you to sign a release. Here's an NDA and a release statement because it's about to go down. If you want to cross this bridge.
Chocolate, as soon as the more I see this couple, the more I like them together. Yes, until you see the previews for the rest of the season. Oh,
and I haven't watched it. I literally stopped.
You
did? As it started to show the previews, I'm like, nope. Because I don't want that to taint my view. I just want to look at, when we do these recaps, this is what I saw in this episode. I don't want to think futuristic based on the previews and glimpses they show, because of course we know that they show stuff that could be drama and winds up not being drama.
True.
They show stuff that is like, that's small, and that winds up being the big thing that they break up. So I'm this season I'm going to avoid watching all those clips that they show after the season, after the episode ends.
Okay, quick question before we get to our way too early predictions. Sam might ask, are we going to talk about how she, being Lauren, said that she got mom energy from Orion?
I don't know what to say about that, because I know that there's such thing as...
You know what she meant.
I get there's BD energy, and I heard the song, but I don't know what mom energy is. And if someone told me that I gave them mom energy, I don't know how I would take that. It's like, is that a compliment? I don't know how to receive that.
I think if you want to, you can make a joke out of it and you can say, yeah, well, he did say he was in touch with his feminine side. But I think what she meant is the comfort that her mom, she felt the energy of her mother with him. Remember, that
could be.
And you got to understand that she's feeling this loss of her mom, because this is what she was. She wanted her mom there for her wedding. She wanted to go wedding dress shopping with her mom. So that is what's still on her mind, and she's thinking in that moment, like, my mom isn't here with me today. And exactly. I didn't watch the after party, but Lola, obviously, we're on the same wavelength. I guess it's on the after party. She says that calming energy, which is her mom's energy.
Could be. I just don't know. But if someone told me, hey, you give me mom energy, you make me feel, I'm like, I don't know how to take that. You know, so I get it, but that's why I don't want to comment a whole lot on that, because I don't know what that means. And for Lauren, it probably means something. For Orion, it could mean something totally different. I don't know.
High Vibe says her mom was a safe space for her. She feels safe.
She said that my mom was so cool that if I told her I had a one-night stand and we did cocaine, she'd be like, okay, awesome. How was that? And then let's talk a little bit more. I was like, that sounds like a really cool mom, because there's no way I can call my mom and be like, hey, last night, crazy. I did cocaine. I had a one-night stand. My mom would break out the Bible. She'd be on 35 coming up to Austin to put oil on me.
Before you got to the one-night stand, she'd already be not.
Yeah. Yeah. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. Yeah, my mom would take that totally different.
Completely different show.
Yeah. Yeah, very different.
All right, let's get to these way too early predictions. All right. Claire and Cameron, you think they're going to make it or not? Nah?
So far, yes. I think they're going to make it. I think that Cameron is something different than what Claire's used to, as well as her sister's. Mm-hmm. And even though they might be skeptical of his confidence, mm-hmm. I think they're going to see that he's a really good dude. And I can see the balance between the two of them. He's going to get Claire a little bit out of her comfort zone. But Claire's also going to be that thing that brings him back to a routine, if you right. will, when you think about a relationship. I love how her grandmother, Gigi, told them marriage advice, right? And mm-hmm. I like what she said. I've not been married, so obviously I don't know what it's like to love somebody. I don't have the beams of light that shoot out my hands. But what I like about what Gigi said is focus on the things that your partner does right mm-hmm. and not the things that they do wrong. And so I feel really good about this couple so far. My prediction is they're going to make it.
I agree. I think they're going to make it. I wish they would have just cut to that advice from the grandmother and not the first advice. I've done a number of weddings, right? And when you do the anniversary dance with all the married couples on the dance floor, and then you off by 5 years, 10 years, and how long you've been married, and you get the longest married couple in there, they all give the same advice. Do what she says. All right, they all get the same advice. it's always the exact same thing. And I think that first part of it, they could have left that and gotten to where she really got focused on the thing. Because that was good advice. That definitely was good advice, right?
I'm with you. I personally can't stand the whole happy wife, happy life bullshit. I think that is the most
That's
dumbest
you've never
thing.
Been married.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You being married, if you're like, Terrell, can I give you some advice? Happy wife, happy life. I'm like, yeah, Yanni, I'm not listening to that. Because I just think that is the most ridiculous thing. To me, that's the same as a woman telling someone, you know, a single woman about to get married, sleep with him when he wants to sleep with you. Always give it up. No.
Now, that's great advice.
I just don't believe in that.
That's great advice.
It's not about happy wife, happy life. And it's not about make your husband happy whenever he wants to be happy. It's just you got to be a couple. And sometimes you're both not happy. Sometimes you're one's happier than the other. But I hate when I hear that comment. But go ahead.
Emily and Brennan, what do you think? Are they going to make it?
Emily and Brennan. Okay, right now I'm going to say no. Mm-hmm. Because the fact that Emily has never been in a serious relationship mm-hmm. to me is a big red flag. Yeah. And I need to understand why. I don't know all the details. I don't know all the history. But there's just something up with that that makes me feel bad about that.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that they're going to make it. I want them to. I want all of them to. But
yeah,
I'm like, there's just way too much. And I feel like Emily's a little bit more of a party girl. Mm-hmm. And that the more comfortable she gets with Brennan, she's going to let her party girl come out. Which that's going to shut Brennan down. Because if Brennan normally breaks up with people because of how they text mm-hmm. and all those different things that his friend said, he could easily be turned off by her.
Yeah, I don't see this lasting. He's already given too many signs as she's shocking him way too early, too fast. She's not ready to be married. He is. She isn't. This is not going to last. He's going to be the first one in his family to get married twice. That's just what it is. Becca and Austin.
Okay. This is the couple I believe are going to make it.
You do? Okay.
I do so far because it doesn't have anything to do with Becca. It has to do with Austin. Austin just seems like a genuinely good guy. Mm-hmm. And that he's not into the typical that we see on this show. Mm-hmm. He's really into connecting with somebody. He's not focused on trying to sleep with Becca on the honeymoon night. Like, he's just really passionate about trying to get to know her and build a connection. Right. And I think she's the same. And because of her health situation, she just can't go crazy and do stupid shit that we see from the other seasons of Married at First Sight. So for this couple, I say yes. I feel most confident about them too.
I want to say yes. I don't know that he's going to be fine with all the restrictions that are going to come with this. And so I'm going to say no. I'm going to step out on the ledge and say no. It's not going to happen.
All right.
So, all right. Last couple, at least for now, Lauren and Orion.
From what I've seen so far, yes. Are there questions? Sure, but I don't want to make my predictions based on the questions I have. But so far, I feel like, yes, they could actually make it. Every time I have my doubts, every episode, as I watch them, it changes my mind.
Right.
How Lauren embraces his culture. He seems to be really in tune with her culture, the fact that she lost her mom. And he's just really in. I just feel like there's something about this couple. The fact that they both kept looking for each other. Mm-hmm. And all that. I mean, you just married a stranger, and yet you have this connection with this person that you want to keep checking. Hey, where are they at? Are they good? And you want to wave across the room? That's dating goals. Like for me, if I'm in a relationship and I look across the room, just be like, love you.
That's because you did not watch what's happening this season. And I'm going to say yes, because despite what's going to happen, or at least what they make us believe is going to happen, I'm going to have faith in this couple.
Okay.
But you're dirty dog.
Ooh. But I'm not going to watch the reviews. I don't want to watch the whatever they're
preview.
Trying to share.
The previews.
I don't want to watch any of that. I'm just going off what I saw. Because I don't want that to taint it. Because I know that that's a snippet that they're doing to get people interested. So for right now, today, yes, they're going to make it.
Yeah. Well, I hope so too, man, because like a cousin Jeanette says, I want Lauren and Orion to make it. I do too. I just seen the preview, so even though Allison says the producers are lying to us, we'll see. We shall see. Hey, if you're not already, make sure you subscribe, hit the bell for notifications so you know when we come back on, because we're going to do this again, of course, next Thursday, and either sometime next week or the following week, we're going to drop that toxic episode.
Yep.
It's going to be an interesting one, because somebody on here said that they'd never been in a toxic relationship.
I haven't. But I'm excited about our guests that are going to come on the show, because I have so much respect for them. They're awesome people. Mm-hmm. And I think that the group is going to like them as well. But yes, I have not been in a toxic relationship. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Do us a favor before you get out of here. Make sure you hit that like button. I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find online. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.